Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, you know, at BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now. We're talking to Kim Cheetah. He's a partner with PwC, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and also talk to entrepreneur businesswoman Manadara Bales, and talking about the Indigenous business growth with PwC Murra Boost Initiative on the line. Kim, start with you. Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks, Trevor. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. And good morning, my sister Manadara. How are you?
Well, thank you, my brother, and it's stellar to be on your show. It's the first time for me, so...
Oh, good, okay. Oh, there you go, too deadly. Well, that's what you mean. You're stepping into the business world and you're stepping outside your comfort zone, and here we are, Yana, my sister, so you're on track for success, yeah? Kim, let's start with you. Yeah, that's right. Start with you about the Indigenous business growth with PwC, PricewaterhouseCoopers, which you're a partner of. Tell us about this Murra Boost Initiative, please.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. And it's something we've been really proud to be involved in since back in 2016. And each year, as part of Indigenous Business Month, working in partnership with the Melbourne Business School, we make this award to an Indigenous business to effectively give $30,000 worth of PwC services to help them really drive growth and to enable their future success.
And one of the winners or recipients is Manadara. Is that right, sister?
That is my brother. Actually, the Black Card, the business that I founded or co-founded with my great aunt, Annie Lilla Watson.
All right, beautiful, yes. So, look, and you're one of the recipients of this boost. So, like, money's not everything, but I rank it right up there, the oxygen. So that, $15,000, $30,000 would have come in handy.
Oh, look, definitely. When you're a small business like, you know, most Aboriginal businesses are,
yes,
you know, to get the support that you need to take your business or grow your business, a lot of the time we just don't have that money on hand or cash on hand. So, yeah, it was an opportunity for us to actually pull in the big guys, the big guns,
yes,
to look at our business,
yes,
give us advice and support us in terms of our future growth.
Good. And on that same year when you recipient won that award, you shared it was a co-win, wasn't it?
It was a co-win. Kim, the other winner, you mentioned them before.
Yeah, so we get some great businesses that apply every year, Trevor, and last year it was no exception to that. We had Black Card, the business that Mandanara runs, but also Kakadu Tiny Tots. At the end of the day, we thought these are two extraordinary Indigenous businesses.
Yes.
We couldn't find a way to separate them, so we decided to award both of them $30,000 worth of services.
So you didn't split the $30,000, you paid them both $30,000?
That was the way. That enables them both to grow. And
yes, beautiful.
Pretty awesome.
Fantastic. Tell us about the boost. So every year this goes through. To me, it's like a hand up is what I'm saying. Yeah, it's a tool, and it's a good indication that you're on track for starting a business, and it's doing well.
Yeah, look, I think it's some of the things that people don't understand is just how many Indigenous businesses there are in Australia and actually how much they really contribute to our economy, which is extraordinary. But equally, they're typically of a, you know, as Mandanara said, they're often small family businesses, entrepreneur, which is great, but they don't always have access to the sort of skills and capabilities that can really help them to grow and do something amazing. And so that's why we got involved in this, because we figure if the Indigenous businesses can really grow and expand, what we know is they, more than any other types of businesses, they give back to their community and they employ Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and everyone wins out of that.
Well, it's a win-win situation, and the old phrase, high tide rises all ships, and we need more black successes out there, and if successful businesses are happening by black people, you know, it's empowering, you know, and the other brothers and sisters thinking, well, if they can do it, yes, exactly.
I think that's exactly it, Trevor, is that once mobs see, you know, black fellas in the community, you know, succeeding in their business or university, it changes the whole narrative in that family and in that community.
Mm.
You know, these opportunities, you know, 30 years ago, my mum and dad would never have thought that, you know, black fellas could participate in business, could be doing business with some of the biggest corporations in this country, like Blackcard has been doing. So I think it's really important for organisations like PwC,
yes,
who I would say is a leader in reconciliation and driving
true
positive change in this country internally, and how they can also have an impact externally. And I think through this initiative, PwC have been able to basically say, look, we're committed for the long term. And I think that's the big thing here. It's like, everything for us, especially in the Aboriginal community, everything's got to be long-term. Don't think of short wins. Let's think about this generation and the next generation and what exactly opportunities are available for them as well.
Exactly. Look, the other hat I wear as a motivational speaker, and I got my own business, and I say that I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman, you know what I mean? In regards to powerful, in regard to what I'm doing and driving the entrepreneur hat, so to speak, yeah?
Yeah, that's what Kim was saying. You should be applying for this award, Trevor.
Yeah, it's just something on the side that I build, you know, and I'm passionate about, but it just helps me keep me intact in regarding my life. But, yeah, look, I think it's fantastic, and it's a great initiative, and it empowers our people. I always say as well, we're not business people. Well, we are business people. We just happen to be black, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's good that you mentioned it, Trevor, because the Indigenous business sector is quite immature, yes? We haven't
exactly
really peaked.
No, that's right. That's
but
right.
There are more Indigenous people getting into business by the day, and I think that's really exciting because, like you said before, in terms of Indigenous businesses employing Indigenous people...
Yes, that too.
You know, that is definitely... But why can't we get everyday businesses to see the value in bringing in an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person into their business, and then the different views and perspectives that
yes
we bring into an organisation?
Yes.
I think that's what's important as well.
Well, exactly, you know, and look, nothing beats black on black, but as business people, yeah, we'll take anybody's money, you know what I mean?
One of the things that's really struck me, Trevor, over the years too, is with all the people that we get applying, the real diversity of Indigenous businesses out there. And over the 5 years of the awards, you know, we've had a law firm that's won at environmental services, a digital tech and digital development
company. Yeah, different industries.
So that it is, and it's not what people, I think, traditionally think of when they think of Indigenous businesses. And so the diversity and skills and capabilities, it just blows my mind every year, I've got to tell you.
No, look, it's fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing. And so every year this initiative comes out. How is it judged as such, Tim?
Both myself and Michelle Evans from the Melbourne Business School are involved in judging. We really focus, first of all, about ensuring that it is actually 51% majority-owned Indigenous business.
Okay.
But just really looking for those kind of businesses that have reached a point where they're really looking to, how do we take that next step of growth? How do we really solve some challenging issues where a firm like PwC can really bring that capability and help them to succeed. I've got to tell you, it's pretty hard sometimes separating the great applicants we get, but it is about just seeing how we can...
What a problem to have, eh, Tim?
Yeah, exactly right.
Scratching your head trying to pick the best. Look, it's a fantastic story. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you guys. Manadara, thank you very much, my sister, leading from the front. And this is a great empowerment for our people. Thank you very much, you mob.
No worries. Thank you, Trevor.
Cheers,
for the opportunity.
Take care, you guys.
Kim as well. Deadly yarning with you as well.
Too deadly. Thanks, guys. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, cheers.
Adelie Yarn there. That's Tim Cheetah. He's a partner with PwC. That's Price Waterhouse Coopers. And we're talking about the Indigenous business growth with PwC Murra Boost Initiative. And also in the conversation was Mandandara Bales, who runs and operates Black Card. And she was one of the recipients of that initiative boost. And she picked up $30,000 sharing the podium with Tony Tots, they're called. And they're fantastic from Kakadu, Kylie Lee Bradford. So look, fantastic. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, here on your daily program, National Talk Back. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the ball around Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakari, taking right through 12 noon Queensland time. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say on National Talk Black. Call us on that number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now the Westerman Julia Institute for Indigenous Mental Health announcement of an inaugural Dr. Tracy Westerman Indigenous Ecology Program recipients. And look, we're going to catch a heavy yarn with Dr. Tracy Westerman, Indigenous Psychologist Scholarship Program, which was developed by Dr. Westerman in recognition of the voices of bereaved Indigenous parents and communities. On the line, Dr. Tracy, good morning, my sister. How are you?
I'm very, very good, and that was quite an introduction there, so I'm very impressed by that.
Thank you very much, my sister. I'm impressed by you and the work that you're doing. Look, before we start, let the mob know who you're mob. Where you're from, sis?
Yeah, of course. So I grew up in the remote Pilbara region of Western Australia. It's hard for people to know. Western Australia is a very big state.
Yes.
My traditional mob are actually in Yumbel, from between Port Hedland and Marble Bar, so in the real remote areas.
Remote. And here we are, talking line now. I believe you're in lockdown, is that right? Or you're operating from home at the moment?
Yeah, no, I guess a little bit similar to Queensland. We've actually been incredibly lucky,
yes,
in relation to the management of COVID, and, you know, and rightly, we're quite concerned, obviously, with our remote communities the most. So we've got to take our hats off to our, you know, very clever, you know, community controlled, who immediately went on the front foot and shut those communities down. And, of course, we've had, you know, I think we've almost controlled it, you know, so it is a lot of business as usual in WA, so we're very lucky.
Yes, likewise here. Now, Junk Professor, you are, Tracy, Western Australia's Australian of the Year back in 2018, recognised for spending over two decades working to reduce the burden of mental ill health and suicide in Aboriginal communities. So tell us about this Indigenous Psychology Program and the recipients we'll talk about, please.
Yeah, I guess it was something that came born out of real frustration, I guess. I mean, the origins of it really was probably the Soliani Inquiry. Some of you, I'm sure you covered that quite extensively, as
yes,
most Indigenous radio did. And it was 13 Indigenous young children, young people who had died by suicide, and we had a coroner's inquiry. Now, that was actually followed in Western Australia by the Hope Inquiry. We had a parliamentary inquiry in 2016, of which I was an expert witness, and then a 2018 Senate inquiry. So as you can probably hear, it's inquiry after inquiry after inquiry.
Yes.
And as we know, inquiries have achieved nothing. In fact, what's happened is suicides are continuing to escalate. So out of pure frustration, reading these reports and knowing, growing up in the remote communities myself,
yes,
these children, all the coroner's inquiries have concluded similar things, Trevor, and that is that most of these children died as a result of system failure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a very nice way of saying a lack of culturally and clinically competent services in those remote areas.
Well, exactly. Now, and when we're talking black on black, that's the best remedy, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm. So, look, I mean, I know also our highest risk communities are our remote, most remote. You're Queenslander, you get it. Northern Territory mob, you know, very similar. We're seeing the lack of access to services, and children should not be dying as a result of a lack of access to services. So as an individual, I said, this is just, I cannot continue to sit back and watch this. I picked up the phone that day, spoke to Curtin University, and it was under the previous partnership with Curtin University, it was launched. I said, what if I donate $50,000 of my own money and start a scholarship in my name? And the idea is that they're not. It's not just the money; it's the actual personal mentoring of these students.
Well, money's the tool. So, that's all we're saying.
Correct. Exactly. So that started that, and then very quickly, as we'd hoped, the scholarship became too big for one university, and it really captured the hearts and minds of Australia. And then what ended up happening is the Julia Institute. Julia means my child, by the way, in my normal language.
Julia means my child, thank you, yep.
Which, because this is about our children, hey?
It is, yes.
So then what happened is South Australia said, well, hang on a sec, what about us? And other universities said, what about us? Which ended up being that we then incorporated the Westerman Julia Institute for Indigenous Mental Health so that we could enable the national expansion of this scholarship program. So it's just really taken off organically, Trevor, which is what you really hope, really.
Well, exactly, you know. All our children, you know, black and white, should be protected, and there is a breakdown in the services or communication or the passion, you know. So beginning's half done, and here we are with the movement.
Definitely. And look, I think, you know, what I say to the scholarship recipients, because it's been the second year now, we announced 13 the other night, and I had the pride of having three of the West Australian recipients on stage at the launch at Government House on Thursday night. And I always end my speech, I guess, with getting the students on stage, and I actually say to them, your disadvantage is your greatest advantage.
Yes.
The things that are unconscious to others are not unconscious to you. That is the greatest asset that you have.
Exactly.
And that's something that you cannot teach in a book.
No.
That's something you cannot train.
Yep.
And these kids are passionate about their communities. They want to be out there.
Mm.
They will live and breathe and die for their communities. And that's why they deserve the support and the mentoring and the scholarship, you know, to
yes.
enable them to do the hard lifting, you know.
Well, exactly. And I'm lucky enough to be catching up having a yarn after this interview with Miles McKenzie and Dale Rowland, who are two recipients of the program. And look, success breeds success. Black on black, as I mentioned, you know what I mean? It's a powerful equation.
Look, I think what's happened, Trevor, this is something that I didn't necessarily anticipate this, but a lot of black fellas now are coming to me, and especially at the launch, and they're sitting there going, you can see the light bulbs going off, and they're going, geez, Trace, this is something that Aboriginal people can actually do ourselves.
Exactly.
We don't need politicians. We don't need government.
No.
We can actually just chuck $1 in to this scholarship and make
sure.
a difference. And
yes.
we've now managed to raise $800,000 in commitments from organisations, philanthropic, some are government, and this is just taking off to an extent.
Well, Dr. Tracy, you will agree, my sister, we've got the solution to our problems. And like I said, nothing beats black on black, and we just got to get our skin in the game, so to speak, and be proactive.
Absolutely, and I think that's really down to people like myself who are in positions of leadership.
Sure.
You know, that we have to really pull the sleeves up and say, I want to take this on. This is just follow me.
Mm.
And, you know, we've been working 24/7. I don't think I slept for 3 weeks when they were leading up to the launch. You know, but
the price we pay.
Yeah, like tiredness is a temporary state.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'd work in Julia for no salary. I never will take a salary. We've now supported 18 Indigenous psychology students just
yes.
within 12 months. That's probably more than government have managed to achieve in 50 years of support of practical
sure.
reaction to bereaved Indigenous families. So I'm really proud of that, really.
Well, and then you look at psychologists, non-Indigenous psychologists, they too need learning in the cultural sense as well in regarding communicating or engaging with our mob. I mean, there's still a gap there, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Julia Institute really aims to address all of that. So the hashtag Build an Army is really interesting with our Indigenous psychologists, where I've said, someone said to me, how many, you know, what do you want to achieve with this scholarship? And I just off the cuff said, I want to build an army of
yes.
Indigenous psychologists.
Yes, yes.
Oh, and that's really taken off, so that's become our hashtag.
Yes.
But the army of Indigenous psychologists will basically drive clinical and cultural best practice across you know, suicide prevention, across justice, across child protection. And so we've got significant amount of 2 decades of best practice programs and research that just needs an army around it, quite literally. And then everyone gets trained across Australia in irrefutable evidence-based best practice.
Well, exactly. Well, if you look at it, that is the fight, and we need an army to be in that fight. So a good analogy and good choice of words, you could say.
I love it when things just come off the cuff, and then they just I have so many Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal psychologists coming up to me in the airport and going, I want to join your army, and it's a really cool thing, Trevor, because it's
beautiful. Yes, exactly. Brings us together.
There's so much negativity around.
Yes.
And I think the thing that I didn't anticipate, to be honest, is how much black and white together are going, we've had enough.
Well, exactly.
We've had enough. We see this as being critical. These are not Aboriginal children. These are Australia's children.
Exactly.
So it's about time we all got together and put our passion equally into this whole, idea that we can have the best opportunities of, child and suicide should not belong in a sentence.
No, and not in a first world country, and here we are in the 21st century.
Focus, and together we could achieve that outcome.
Yes, very much so. Can you hear me there, Dr. Tracy? No, we lost Dr. Tracy Westerman. I'll get the sister back. We're talking about the Indigenous Psychology Program and the recipients of that. Look, a very powerful conversation and leading from the front. This sister who got a doctorate in psychology just grabbed the bulls by the horn and created an army, as she mentioned. I was just talking about the beautiful choice of words, army, because it is a fight that we're in. And when you're talking about a young people you're taking their lives in the 21st century in a first world country, it's not on.
Yeah, and I think the Build an Army hashtag, which is just great, but it's a call to action, effectively, isn't it?
Yes.
What we're actually saying here is that enough of this skirting around the issue. Let's actually call it in terms of the resources that are needed. And here you go, here's something that's actually, making a difference in a way that all you really have to do is, like I said the other night, all you have to do is just give us the money and leave the heavy lifting to us.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
We're putting our hands up, we're happy to do it, but you just need to, allow us to actually do what we're skilled to do.
And sometimes that's the scary thing. They're looking at the so-called cost or the financial status and giving it to black people and thinking they're going to waste the money. But like I said, it is a tool, and we know the problems, and we've got the solution to the problems. Give us the tools to do what we need to do and stand back, so to speak.
Yeah, look, Trevor, I think the thing that really overwhelmed me, to be honest, is we interviewed 24, and we should have been able to, we had 37 apply, and we should never have been turning anyone away. So that's my now absolute passion. So we awarded 13, but bear in mind, this is our first, we only got incorporated as a charity a couple of months ago. So we're saying, slow down, Tracy.
Sure, yeah.
That's pretty good. But they,
inch by inch, it's a cinch. Yes.
Incorrect, yeah. But every single one of them, Trevor,
of course.
I asked a question in the interview, and I said, what inspired you to apply for this scholarship? It's a $10,000 scholarship, tax-free, so the money is actually, money helps, money's good.
Sure, yes.
But every single one of them, Trevor, said the mentoring, part of being something groundbreaking, doing something that's going to make a direct difference to community. So these young people, they're just extraordinary.
Yeah, powerful.
The value base that they have.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just an honour to be.
Well, and when we talk money, well, it's not an investment. It's not an expense. It's an investment, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and the mentoring side of things,
that's worth all the money in the world.
Yeah, we're going to be zooming up very soon.
Exactly.
The 13 of them, I can already see, they're going to have lifelong friendships.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And look, we need all First Nation people to be professionals in all facets, all industries, leading from the front. And like I said, success breeds success.
I said to the recipients the other night that we are challenged, this generation is challenging Australia at a level that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
The days of this generation needing affirmative action are just done. They can be in a room with any psychologist in Australia and hold their own,
Exactly.
And it's just awesome to watch, and that's where they're already there. They're already...
60,000 years, we are professors in all fields, are we not? You there, Dr. Tracy?
Yeah, no, I'm here.
You there? Have I got you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, thank you. I just say 60,000 years on planet Earth, we are professors in all fields.
Awesome, isn't it? It's so amazing to be part of this beautiful culture, and also to see to capitalise on, you know, the great things that I guess mainstream education can provide you, you can funnel that into.
Yes.
You know, working with the most disadvantaged communities in Australia, it's a gift. Every day is a gift.
Of course it is. Look, a very powerful conversation. Thank you very much for sharing. I congratulate you and the work that you're doing with our mob there. And, look, stay safe, Doctor. We'll be in touch. I'm looking forward to having a yarn with Miles McKenzie and Dale Rowlands, who are both recipients of the program, and looking forward to that yarn coming up very soon, sister.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for your support of the work over the years too. Appreciate it.
You take care, Dr. Tracy. Bye, sis.
All the best. Have a good day. Bye.
A beautiful yarn. Dr. Tracy Westerman, Indigenous Psychology Program recipients, is the conversation, and we're talking about the Westerman Jalilia Institute for Indigenous Mental Health announcement of the inaugural recipient program. So fantastic. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with a ball around Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation, thanks to NERS National Digital Radio Service for your daily program, National Talk Black. Give me a call, 1-800-422-416.
Yo, man, do you really wanna jam all night, man?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jam all night.
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 folks. Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yeah, Two Deadly Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Yana with the ball, you're on Trevor, Tim, Trendy, Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation radio station here in Cairns, you know, at BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service, for your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yana, up strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to catch another yarn there with Sister Michelle Nelson, all the way from WA, and to talk about the event that happened last Tuesday in WA. Online, Sister Michelle, good morning, how are you?
I'm good, brother boy. How are you?
I'm
How's
very
the
good.
Over there?
Oh, it's beautiful over here. They say, beautiful sunshine and blue skies. It's all happening. They talk the truth, my sister. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob. Where you from, Michelle?
I'm the one that's related to probably 99.99% of the Noongar community in West Australia, in Noongar Boodja.
Connection everywhere.
And very proud of my people.
Good.
Bit raw that Queensland got our AFL grand final.
Oh, sore point, hey? You're carrying it like luggage. You need to let it go now.
Shame, shame, shame. But anyway, brother boy, look, yeah. What I want to talk to you about is I became alert to a event that took place last Tuesday morning in regards to having a breakfast with the Federal Minister for Aboriginal Affairs.
The Honourable Ken White? Minister for Indigenous Australians, yeah. Did you attend the breakfast, my sister?
I didn't attend the breakfast.
Okay, go ahead.
And what appalls me is that I believe that the event was well attended by a very large gathering of representatives from many organisations.
Mm-hmm.
What I find deeply disappointed is that I believe that every organisation paid $1,200 to purchase tables to attend this event. Now, it's appalling that the minister had to get these organisations to pay and subsidise this event.
Mm.
And if they looked at, and this was held at the Crown Casino, mind
sure,
you.
Sure.
People are aware that Aboriginal people have a lot of social issues impacting on our lifestyle. Let's make no trade secret about that.
Mm.
But the fact that, you know, our Aboriginal, these representatives that are supposedly representing our community people and are representing these organisations that paid to attend this event, I think they should be ashamed of themselves, and I also think that they need to be accountable to our community in communicating the feedback or giving us some briefing or what the minister spoke about, and the fact that the emphasis and focus was not based on issues impacting here in West Australia, that would have been modelled off from another state.
Mm.
And yet our West Australian mob attended this event and I think it's just appalling to pay $1,200 when we have homeless people living in the streets. All that money that all these organisations paid to hear a talk fest that had no focus on WA, that money could have been well resourced into essential services to our homeless people or our elders or our community unmet needs.
So, Sister Michelle, what you're saying is, look, very important and fantastic that the Honourable Minister for Indigenous Australians, Mr Ken White, was meeting with our mob, but when you look at a price of $1,200 per table, a bit hectic is what you're saying, my sister.
I think it's appalling.
Yes.
I think it's appalling.
Okay.
Given that a lot of these our mob that represent these organisations are also self-appointed. They're not elected by our community. So it's a sterile environment over here. The other thing I also want to talk about, brother, is NAIDOC.
Mm.
And I recognise NAIDOC, and I've always been a proud supporter and advocate around NAIDOC and recognition of our culture and celebrating and using, you know, our NAIDOC event as an education model to educate our non-Indigenous people about the significance of our customary activities, our culture, our traditional ways, etc.
Mm.
However, until we start achieving outcomes in regards to incarceration statistics, suicide and self-harm, morbidity, chronic and burden of disease. You know, our children that are still in understate ward here in West Australia. What are we really achieving? What are we really celebrating? You know, we can't just go, we shouldn't be out there celebrating if we're not achieving results within our own community. And we have to take the responsibility for that. It has to be community-led by us. We have to find the solutions. And, you know, these NAIDOC events, we should be highlighting these social impacts that are, you know, affecting each and every one of our regions, our communities, our families, you know, even mental health in our kids, you know. It's appalling. I sent a letter to both Ken White and Ben White's office in regards to my granddaughter who contemplated suicide. I never got no response at all. They just knocked it on the head, and I've had to go out and, you know, try and find services that are applicable, appropriate, and essential to my to the need of my granddaughter. So I just wanted to make those very brief points.
Sure.
And express my concerns and my opinions on those.
And look, and glad you can do so, and happy for you to do so here on National Talk Black, and that's what the tool's all about, voicing your opinion, voicing your concerns, and yes, into celebration regarding NAIDOC, but we've still got a lot of way to go regarding, how you say, bandaging up the hurt and what's the atrocity that's formed on our people, yes?
Yes, absolutely, Brother Boy, and you're the show that actually gets that attraction from a nationwide point of view, and you know, you should be very, very proud of your achievements, particularly around your accomplishments in having us as Aboriginal people from a diversity of cultures and backgrounds, having an opportunity to voice our opinions on a, you know, live, to express our feelings. And I congratulate you on your achievements. No,
thank you, my sister. Thank you very much. And look, I'm hearing your concerns, and it opens the conversation for all our mob to join in the conversation and support your cause. Or if not, if they're against it as well, we want to hear both sides. But it's a tool, it's a vehicle for us to have our say, isn't it, sis?
Absolutely, Brother Boy.
And thank you very much for sharing.
All right, you take care and look forward to hopefully we might be able to travel over to Queensland for the AFL Grand Final.
Yes, come and cheer your team on if they make it.
Absolutely. Take care, Brother Boy.
All right, sister. Bye-bye, Michelle.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Michelle Nelson, and getting her opinion across the table regarding the event that happened last Tuesday at WA there. And her concern was about the cost of tables, $1,200 per table to have a breakfast meeting with Mr. Ken White, the Honourable Minister for Indigenous Australians, and she wasn't impressed with that costing in regards to what's happening with our mob out there regarding struggling in regards to life and costing of tables, $1,200. She wasn't impressed. Also talked about NAIDOC and about celebration, fantastic, but let's not forget our people as well, you know. So that's what she's talking about. Have you say Yana Strong, add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the Baldy One here, Trevor Tim, Treddy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yan Upstrong?
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I
remember the day. A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Bit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say on National Talk Black by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, earlier I had a beautiful yarn with Dr. Tracy Westerman, and she's part of the Westerman and Jalea Institute for Indigenous Mental Health, and talking about the Indigenous Psychology Program recipients, and I got two of the recipients I'm going to have a yarn with now, Miles McKenzie and Dale Rowland. I got them both on the line. Very good morning, my brothers. How are yous?
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm very good, very good. You there, Miles? Can you hear me?
I'm very well.
Fantastic. Well, I got you, Miles. We'll start with you, my brother. First of all, who your mob? Where you from, Miles?
I'm from the Burundi tribe, which is on the borderline of New South Wales and Queensland. It's near the Paru River there in Bourke. So I'm good when it comes to State of Origin because I can support either team and get away with it.
Well, let's keep talking, my brother. That's good. But you're in Queensland at the moment, yarning up. Queensland man, so yep, we'll stay on that track. Now, you're studying psychology. Your second year, is that right?
Yeah, second year at the moment. Just about completed second year. Looking forward to third year next year, get into some more work, and, yeah, it's getting interesting.
Fantastic. Dale, bring you to the conversation, my brother. Who your mob, where you from?
My mob are the Biripi Wiradjuri people of New South Wales.
Yes.
And I grew up there, but was blessed to come up and knock around for you Murrays to be
in our Queensland
studying, so probably won't go back.
So how long are you into your studies, psychology?
This will be my 10th year, eh?
Is that right? You're becoming a professional student there, brother.
Yeah, professional student, but itching to get out there, itching to do some work, lots of work to be done, so can't wait.
Fantastic. Now, congratulations both on being recipients of the Westerman Jilu Institute for Indigenous Mental Health announcement. In regards to being recipients, start with you, Miles. What does that mean for you, and why did you get into psychology, brother?
Well, we'll go on the recipient first, and it means so much to me because I've done a lot of research into what Dr. Westerman has done from the start of her career to where she is today, and what the institution has done for Indigenous psychology and mental health across the whole country.
Yes.
Is absolutely amazing. The awareness being raised of all the Indigenous psychology issues that we've got within our society is amazing, you know. That idea of black on black, you know, that the fact that we need to have our own people working with each other to improve our own mental health, you know. We never stop growing, we never stop learning, and that's an absolutely amazing part of this institution that I love. And it's that similar to why I got into psychology, you know. Our Indigenous men and women here in northern Queensland often go forgotten, and you know, particularly in the mental health area, you know, we ignore that so much, and yeah, I'm really passionate about getting some changes made up here, and we need to really reconsider our current psychology system and understanding.
Yes.
You know, the fact that we don't really take into account culture and spirituality is, you know, it's ridiculous this day and age, you know. So we need to really reconsider what we're actually working with, how we understand these people, and I'm really passionate about getting these changes made to our system and, you know, letting these people up here in northern Queensland, and for that matter the rest of Australia, be heard.
Yes.
And, you know, they deserve to have excellent mental wellbeing just as everyone else does.
Exactly. Dale, bring you into the conversation again. Miles mentioned that nothing beats black on black, which is so true, and working with our mob, we've had psychologists across this country dealing with our people. Of course, 99% of them are non-Indigenous, so there's a cultural barrier. Well, they're not picking up in regards to communicating with our mob, don't you agree?
Absolutely, and, you know, we look at the statistics and we know that there's, you know, just over 200 Indigenous psychologists in this country, yet unfortunately we are overrepresented in so many confronting and unfortunate statistics when it comes to our mental well-being and our mental well health. And what we're really lacking is these culturally validated and evidence-based approaches to assessment and treatment, because without, you know, mob out there with the culturally validated skill set and tools to not only assess mobs, but also to deploy these treatments is where we're seeing such significant gap and seeing, yet again, a system failing our people and failing our community.
And when we're talking about, you can get a degree and many degrees as you like and be in university for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, but if you haven't got that cultural connection, especially if you're non-Indigenous, then it's hard to build that bridge of communication and trust and help our mob move into the future. But like I said, nothing beats black on black, and when you've got that cultural aspect, it's the best ingredient, is it not?
Absolutely. And, you know, we bring our lived experience, we bring our knowledge, our connection to kin and our spirituality and, you know, what we're reared with as young fellas or you know, and that we know our mob and know our communities better than anyone else. And then it's about then taking that knowledge, going out and accessing education, merging those two worlds and navigating that space so as to bridge that gap to provide for our community to connect services, to link up, and to start training up, you know, the next generation of future clinicians, future psychologists. And you're absolutely right, you know, you can be at university for as long as you well want, but unless you're still connected, still out there, here in the community, yarning up, getting them to tell you what they need, you know, you're really just not out there in that action-focused sort of practice making a difference. And I think that's the absolute privilege of this scholarship and the Gilead Institute, is that it's in complete recognition of need in rural remote communities and ensuring that the upcoming generations of Indigenous psychologists are out there servicing those communities.
Yeah, exactly. Miles, you're second year into your degree. Once you get your degree, you're looking at going further in psychology, is that right?
Yes, looking at doing my clinical master's and doing a bit of clinical work, and then obviously looking at the medical pathway and the psychiatry path as well, and looking specifically at fetal alcohol syndrome and things like that. That's one of the biggest issues that we see within our communities, you know. And, you know, it's been ignored for years. And the question is why? It's like, you know, this is a serious issue and it's been recognised by researchers across the country, yet we continue to ignore it and just push it aside. You know, where's the research into that?
Exactly.
So I'm really interested in looking into that, and I already do visit a few communities already, and I'm gathering a bit of experience and counselling some of these people already, and it's incredible to hear their stories and the fact that they just feel so excluded and ignored. And it's something we really need to work on, and I think that's the best part of the entire institution, is that it's this focus on getting out of a clinical setting, getting out of the idea of two people sitting in a room on a couch talking to each other, you know, with a bloke sitting there with a notepad taking some notes. It's the idea of getting away from that and sitting in communities, sitting in traditional spaces, talking about culture, talking about how they express their spirituality.
And under the gum tree, if that's the case, isn't it, Miles?
Exactly right. And that's
this own country.
Psychology and clinical psychology, the whole mental health field, it's not about just sitting in an air-conditioned room on a couch talking about how you feel.
And the so-called psychologists wearing a suit looking pretty, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And, you know, honestly, that's what I do with the majority of my clients already as a counsellor. We go and sit in a park. I mean, sitting there in my 40s in my T-shirt and have a yarn about stuff. And honestly, they've come back and said that's made more of a difference than any psychology session they've had, because it's not just about sitting in a room talking about feeling. It's about being out there and talking about lived experience and getting things off their chest and just working with them, rather than trying to use your own structure to fix them per se, you know?
Exactly. Dale, you're a bit further down the track than Miles in regarding 10 years university. So where do you go from, and how far are you going regarding your studies and what thereafter, Brother Dale?
Yeah, so it took me 4 years to finish my first degree in a Bachelor of Psychological Science. And obviously the hiccups of leaving your family, leaving your community and your space, there's unique challenges there in, you know, not only finishing, but also finishing well enough so that you can obtain entry into further qualifications. So within psychology, we have this significant issue where we have a bottleneck effect where, you know, you could have 300 students in an undergraduate bachelor's degree and only 60 or 50 will get into an honours program. And that honours program is absolutely crucial in order to go out and get registration as a provisional psychologist, or to go on to further higher degree studies such as master's or a PhD. So I had to go back and redo some undergraduate subject take because I didn't do as well as I would have hoped as a young fella. So I went back, I didn't give up, repeated some subjects to get better grades, to get a leg in, get my foot in the door and get into that honours year. Finished up really well in honours and published some research and did a little bit of academic teaching at Griffith, And all that experience culminated to situating me quite nicely for entry into the PhD clinical program, where, you know, again, it's even fewer spots. So I'm the first Indigenous male to get into Griffith's PhD clinical psych program.
Mm-hmm.
My research at the minute is looking at virtual reality interventions for emotional disorders. I stepped away from Indigenous research for the PhD in recognition that I could have the best of both worlds, still continue with my research for mob in community, but also explore and tap into the potential of digital mental health in the hopes that, you know, upon graduation, we can start utilising technology a bit better for our mob, for our people, increase serviceability, increase reach for those who want it, those that need it, as well as bringing, you know, my expertise and knowledge from my clinical skill set.
Fantastic.
Clinical master's component, yeah.
At the top of your head, would you know how many First Nation psychologists we have in the country?
Most recent data at the beginning of this year was saying 218 that were emerging. And I think that's come out of, you know, all things data when it comes to our people is up for scrutiny in terms of how accurate and reliable the data is. But that's the most recent data that I've seen, yeah.
Look, fantastic. Look, great talking to you both. Once again, congratulations as recipients of Western Julia Institute for Indigenous Mental Health. Fantastic. And it's the journey, part of the journey, and being recognised and acknowledged for the work that you're doing. Not that you were doing that for that reason, but it is good to get recognised. And it's, how you say, a feather in your cap, and then you can build upon that and helping our mob. And we love where you two brothers are at.
Thank you.
Deadly brother, thank you so much.
All the best. We'll be in touch. Take care. And in the world that we live in at the moment, stay safe as well, COVID-19.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks, Miles. Thanks, Dale. Bye-bye.
Thanks for that. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Dale Rowland, his name is, and also Miles McKenzie. Both are recipients of the Westerman Julia Institute for Indigenous Mental Health, and fantastic. And Brother Dale there, 10 years in university studying, and still a bit way to go with what he wants to achieve. And Miles has done 2 years into his study, and he's doing his degree, but he wants to go to a clinical master as well. So look, fantastic. They've received their awards, and they weren't doing their studies for any rewards, they're doing it for our mob, and nothing beats black on black, as young Miles mentioned there. So fantastic, congratulations. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn in Circle, add to the conversation. 1-800-422-416 is the number you need to call, and you're yarning with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. I'm the host for the daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service.